Welcome to another life-changing teaching by Jerry Dierman, Senior Pastor of The Rock. For more information about Pastor Jerry's teaching and ministry, please visit jerrydierman.com.
Open your Bibles, if you have them today, to Galatians chapter 6. And I'm going to begin a new study today. Galatians chapter 6, and I believe that this is a life-changing topic. I believe today is life-changing. If you can grasp today this truth that God wants to share, I believe it'll change your life. Galatians chapter 6, if you're taking notes, you may want to write down the title of this study. It's called Planting a More Fruitful Life. Planting a More Fruitful Life. I want to talk to you. I believe the Lord impressed this upon me. This scripture has been rolling around in me for a few weeks here. And I believe the Lord wants us to talk about how He wants us to sow and to plant so that we can reap a more fruitful life. This is not a message about offerings, not about tithing. This is about every area of our life. And I want to show you this text here. We're going to land on this text, and we're going to see. I think some of you will be surprised how one little portion of Scripture can be so life-impacting and life-altering if you'll just allow the truths of the Word of God to pierce through the way that you were thinking and allow God to take you to a whole new level. Now listen, are you ready to go to a new level in your life? I don't care how good your life's going. I want to go to another level. And so let's read this here. I'm reading, as usual, from the New King James Version. If you don't have that particular version with you, that's okay. There are a number of good versions out there. But for the sake of reading aloud together, follow along on the screen so that we can all read the same words. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9, reading loudly and together, let's read. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Now come back up to the seventh verse, because this is what I want to focus on today. It starts off by saying, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. And that's a setup. Those are setup statements to the principle that he's about to give. And here's the principle. He goes on to say, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Now listen to what he's saying. He says, whatever a man sows, that the man will reap. He didn't say whatever was sown into the man, or whatever has happened to the man, or whatever somebody else has sown. He says, whatever the man sows, that's what the man will reap. And let me talk to you just a little bit about this principle that the Lord wants us to study. What God is saying here is that the things that are going on in your life, the way things are going in life, with your relationships, with your job, if you have a job, with your finances, with your body, your health, and such. This scripture says that those things are happening based on and in correlation to decisions that you have made. Now, that doesn't mean, this is not saying that nothing in your past that was not your fault has affected you. That's not true. We know that to be true. We know that, you know, if somebody got into some kind of an accident and they had their legs amputated, how many of you know that affects your life? And you can't say, well, that was my doing. No, that's not what this scripture is saying. This scripture is not saying that there hasn't been anything that has happened to you that has brought negative or that has brought some type of disability or some type of hardship. But what this is saying is, the fruitfulness of your life is not dependent on what has happened to you. The fruitfulness of your life is dependent on what you have sown in response to the events that happened to you. Notice again, whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. In other words, if you're the type of person that absolves yourself from the responsibility of what's going on in your life and blames it on everybody else and every other situation, then you have just put yourself in a position where you can't do anything about it because, see, it's not your fault. And this scripture says, notice how it starts off, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. There are some theories of what's called determinism that many people buy into, various theories. Like, for example, genetic determinism. The DNA, right? It's in my DNA. The reason I'm like I am is it's hereditary. Right? Why do you lose your temper and yell at people like that? Well, you see, it's because I'm Irish. Right? That's why. It's not my fault. It's kind of like saying my grandparents did it to me. It's not me. It happened to me. That's just the way I am. Or you heard somebody, hear some people say, well, that's just the way I'm wired. And everybody is wired a little bit different way. But notice how so instantly we use those things, excusing ourselves from having any decision-making power to change the way that we respond. That's just the way I'm wired. It's just the way I am. See? Genetic determinism. Happened to me. It's not my fault. It's just the way I am. The reason not why this is going like it is because it's just, that's just what came down in the genes. Another is psychic determinism. Psychic. You know, see in the psyche. And that's kind of like saying my parents did it to me. It's the way I was raised as a child. It's the emotional suffering that I went through as a kid. It's the feeling of rejection that I experienced. See? It was being compared to other people. That's what caused me to be like I am. See, it's not my fault. When I was tender, when I was impressionable, these things happened to me. And because those things happened, well, that's how why my life is like it is. There's nothing I can do about it. See? Psychic determinism. My parents did it. Their fault. And what we're saying is that because those things happened to me, well, that's it. See, there, what you see is what you get. There's nothing that I can do to respond to that would change the fruit that I'm getting in my life. See, happened to me. It's my parents' fault. The reason why I get so upset is because, yeah, that my dad was always upset at me, yelled at me. So that's why I do it. Another kind is environmental determinism. That's kind of like saying, my wife's doing it to me. Or my boss, right? My spouse. The reason why my life's going like this is because they don't respect me. Right? It's not me. I could flourish and be fruitful if they would only stop limiting me. Stop treating me so poorly. I am an eagle. I would be flying, but they're holding on to my talons. I can't get off the ground. See, it's environmental. It's not my fault. Somebody else. See? Why'd you blow your temper? Oh, she made me mad. Oh, she made you mad. Yes, she made me mad. Oh, so she controls you. No. Yeah, you said she made you mad. Well, yeah, but she doesn't control me. But did she make you mad? Yeah, she ticked me off. She made me mad. So you were just there like a blob. And she said something to you. And you had no ability to choose to be angry or not. She made you that way. So all you are, you're just a blob floating through life, and whatever happens on the outside, it makes you happy or mad, and it's not you. See, it's the old stimulus and response. Stimulus and response. And what we're saying by determinism is, I can't change anything. Hey, this stuff happens to me. She ticked me off. What do you want me to do? Like one guy that my parents talked to, we used to know him from Texas. My dad would have to come and sit down and talk to him and say, listen, Leon, you got to stop spanking your wife. And he said, well, I can't. Why can't you? Because she disobeys me. He meant it. He'd get the belt out right in front of the kids and spank his wife. And every time my dad would talk to him, he would say, what are you talking to me for? She's the one that disobeys. See, he has no responsibility. She makes him do it. See, environmental. See, she made me mad. So you mean that anybody around you can control you? All they have to do is maybe flip you the bird, and here you go. Rawr! Think about how weak that is. Think about it. But see, people think like that. It's like the person, you know, you say, hey, you weren't here. You said you were going to be here. Oh, yeah, you know what? I was going to do that, but I don't have time. You don't have time? Nope, I don't have time. You don't have time? I thought everybody had time. I get 24 hours a day, but you don't have time? Well, no, I mean, I have time, but you chose to use your time in a different way. See, nobody, different than economics, different than finances. Everybody has a different income that comes in financially. But nobody has a different income of time. Everybody gets 24 a day. And how you choose to spend your 24 is your choice. You get to respond. Somebody says, yeah, but I've got kids. I've got pressures. Absolutely. No doubt about it. And it makes it different. There are different demands on everybody. But nevertheless, you choose to respond to those demands. And the way that you choose to respond to those demands will cause a harvest in your life. I watch some people who will do something frivolous. And a person will make a comment and say, wow, you're good at that. And because of the insecurity that's in all of us, the validation is so important. And so they'll do a little bit more of it. And a few more people comment, wow, look at that, look at that. So they do a lot more of it. And it just keeps expanding. And before they know it, they're spending so much time consumed with something that is really irrelevant to who they're called to be. God has this calling on them, has this anointing for them, has this plan for their life. But here they're doing things to get validation. Oh, you're good. And some of these things are wonderful things, but it's just not what they're called to do. Oh, you're such a great little league coach. Well, that's a wonderful thing to be a little league coach. Unless God has called you to do some other things and you are wasting your time. Somebody said, well, you don't call children a waste of time. It's not a waste of time for the person called to be there. But if the Lord has spoken to you that it's imperative for you to sow into some different fields of your life right now, and you just continue to dismiss it as a victim and saying, I don't have time. You do have time. You have the opportunity to bring it before the Lord and say, God, here at 24 hours a day, show me how I should respond to the demands that are on me. Whatever a man sows, that he'll also reap. There's another kind of determinism that's found only in the church. It's called divine. I call it divine determinism. That's kind of like saying God did it to me, right? Well, if it was God's will that I have more money, I would, right? It has nothing to do with how good of an employee I am. It has nothing to do with how hard I've worked. It has nothing to do with how I've talked about the boss. It has nothing to do with my faithfulness and diligence and dependability and work ethic. It has nothing to do with how late I go to bed so that I'm fresh in the morning when it's time to go to work. No, it's not me. It's if the Lord wanted me to be more blessed, he would do something. See? It's God's fault. Well, if it's God's will, it would happen. But listen to what the scripture says. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. God is bringing the principle out that says that your life, the fruitfulness and the harvest of what's going on in your life is not dependent on anybody else. It's more dependent on you than anybody else. Somebody says, wait a minute, God's in control. He absolutely is control. He absolutely is sovereign. He's over everything. But that does not mean that God is controlling everything. There's a difference between God being in ultimate absolute control and controlling everything. And when you begin to fall into that divine determinism to say that everything happening in my life is God's will. And so if I stay out too late, I may not even drink. But if I stay out too late, I run myself too ragged, I'm drowsy, and I'm in the car, and because of the drowsiness, I get into an auto accident, somebody gets injured. I say, well, I don't know why the Lord had me to get into that accident and to injure that person. But that's the thinking. It's ridiculous, but that's the thinking. But listen, all of these are lies. But if you believe them, they become true to you. And your life will be limited by other people when it was never intended to be. I remember years back, my wife kept telling me that when some of the bad things that would happen around the house or around in our lives, she said, you find some kind of a way to blame it on me. I said, I do not. She said, yeah, everything's my fault. I said, it is not. I'm not saying that. But some things that are your fault, they're clearly your fault. She said, yeah. She said, yeah, but things that are not even my fault, you find some kind of a way to make them my fault. And I said, the fact that we're in this ridiculous conversation is your fault. I don't do it. I tried to convince her. No, I don't. I only say it's your fault when it's really your fault. One day, I had my friend Walter over, and we were moving this TV. His TV was on one of these cheesy TV cabinets. You know the kind I'm talking about? It's made out of press board, and they put stickered wood grain on it, you know? And you don't know how the thing holds up when you try to roll it across the carpet, but it was on casters. And so we were moving this thing. Well, it had a shelf down in here below where the TV would sit for the VCR, and I had hooked it all up, put the VCR down in there on that shelf. Well, as we were moving it, the VCR is on top of the television. I didn't put it there, but Kimberly was fooling around doing something, ended up putting it on top of the TV. Well, here we are. We're going to move this thing. And I thought I had everything unplugged, and as we started rolling it, and I'm looking back, we realized quickly that the VCR was still plugged in. The reason why we realized this is because we got to the end of the cord, jerked the VCR off the television, and bam, right there on the floor, kaboom. Well, like any logical person, I instantly looked at Kimberly, why'd you put the VCR on top of the TV? And Walter started laughing at me. Now I'm looking at him like, what's the matter with him? And then Kimberly started laughing with him. And I'm thinking, both these guys are boneheads. Surely they don't think that that was my fault for not unplugging the VCR before I moved it. But they did. So what do you do when you live with unreasonable people like this? Who see things in a skewed way? That day, my mind was partially open to the fact that there was a slight possibility that I would sometimes, on rare occasions, blame my wife for things that were indeed my fault. And I began to be aware of it as time went on. And she would say, see right there, where? And I'd have to take some more responsibility. But do you know what that did for our relationship as I began to take more responsibility? In fact, to this day, I joke about it a lot with her. I'll find something that absolutely is not her fault. And I'll say, you know what? This is your fault. I'm going to find out how this is your fault. She'll say, you're home late. Well, it's your fault. How's it my fault? You called me and asked me what time I was going to be home. Totally threw my concentration. It took me an hour to get back on track in my work. Cost me a lot of time. Can't believe I'm pretty ticked about it, too. That's how ridiculous she felt it was. But see, that's the way we live our lives sometimes. Pointing the finger at other people. It's you, it's you, it's you. And blaming them for the harvest that we're reaping in our lives. And God says, don't be deceived. It's whatever you sow that you'll reap. I could come home, and my wife, though she doesn't generally do anything of this sort, she could totally disrespect me and just be flustered that day and totally just attack me, say something maybe even unreasonable like, "You're ugly." You know, that shouldn't even bother me. I know that wasn't anything close to being true, right? She could attack me and make me feel worthless about something, some little deal. Like, "Didn't I ask you to bring down the Tupperware containers so I could put the Christmas decorations in them before you left? Because if you didn't do it now, then you'd be gone and I couldn't get to them and wouldn't be able to put them away, and our couch would be filled with all these decorations." Now, of course, I'm not giving you a real illustration. Well, she could take something that seems to be a molehill and make a mountain out of it and attack me. Or at least maybe because of the day that I just experienced, it feels like an attack. It feels like an undermined. It feels like it's a total disrespect, pulling my credibility away from me and treating me as a big loser, you know? And you walk in the door and she's doing this. Well, let me ask you this. If somebody treats you that way, how do you respond? Do you have the ability to choose how you respond? Or do you automatically have to retaliate? "Oh, is that right? Oh, is that right? What about when I ask you, huh? Huh? What about it? What about the clothes? Where's my clean underwear? Huh? Huh?" Do you have to retaliate? See, because let me tell you, listen to what the Scripture says. The Scripture doesn't say that you are reaping what others are sowing. The Scripture said, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he'll reap." And I suggest to you that what you're reaping in your life is not what others are sowing, but it's your response to it. Because see, if I retaliate on my wife, she had a bad day or she saw something and made a big deal out of something that I didn't think was a big deal, and, "Well, what's the matter with you?" You know, and it could hit me in a wrong way. And all of a sudden, maybe I was already feeling insecure about some things and it just blows me away, so to speak. Regardless of how hard it hits me, I have the ability to respond. See, that's what responsibility means. Responsibility. It's the ability to choose response. Animals don't have this. But see, I can take myself in any situation, regardless of how difficult and undermining it may seem, and project outside of that situation and look at it objectively and say, "How do I want to respond to this?" And just because somebody else may be responding to me in a less than worthy way does not mean that I have to respond at that level. And so I have learned that if I want my marriage, my relationships, and every other part of my life to reap a harvest that is at the level of the blessing of God that He promised, then what I need to do is I need to not be as concerned about what comes at me from the outside, or what even has happened to me in the past, or what I've received genetically, or even what I think maybe God allowed in my life. What I need to be concerned about is, how do I respond to that? See, I have an ability to respond. Animals can't do this, but we were created in the image and likeness of God to respond to these things. And this Scripture says that the harvest that you're living and receiving and functioning with in your life is not dependent, and you can't track it back to what everybody else has done. You can only track it back to how you have sown and responded to those things. There could be some devastating things that have happened to you in your life, but how you respond to those devastations can bring a whole different picture. So if I retaliate on my wife and I say, "Oh yeah," and I just lay into her, let me tell you something, I will reap that harvest. Right? Even if she's controlled for a while, it'll only be a matter of time of me sowing those seeds and functioning at the level of respect that I think she's giving me. And, "Oh yeah, well, here you go. You don't treat me like that. I don't need this. I don't deserve it." And all of that. But if I take a different approach, and instead of being controlled by somebody else having a bad day or even having a poor outlook of me. If I can respond to her and think and be led by the Spirit and think, obviously, this seemingly insignificant oversight on my part has hit her like a mountain instead of a molehill. And I care about that. So if I can respond and say, sweetie, I didn't realize, I mean, I didn't do it on purpose, but I didn't realize how important that was to you. And I'll get it. I'll get on it right away. But I don't want you to feel like I don't value what you say to me. See, and all of a sudden now what I'm sowing is humility. Now that doesn't make me any less a head of the household. That doesn't put me at anybody's mercy. I'm not all of a sudden a doormat by being humble. It's just that I'm looking at somebody that I choose to have a positive relationship with, and I choose to love. And I want to be loved back. And I realize that if I want the love back, what do I need to sow? If I want mercy, what do I need to sow? Mercy. If I want grace, what do I need to sow? Grace. See? But if I retaliate at the level that she's attacking me, or it seems like she is, then what am I going to get back? Retaliation. And so if I say something that may hit her wrong, I'm sowing into a harvest to receive retaliation. See, listen. You can say all you want to, well, she started it or he started it. Say it all you want to. But you're not responsible for what they do. Only for what you do. And this scripture says, your life does not consist of what they do, whoever they are. I used to love going to my aunt's house when I was a kid. But famous were they for saying, well, like they say. I mean, they had all these sayings. Well, like they say. Well, you know what they say. And I used to think as a kid, who are they? There must be a society of people called the They Society. All they do is sit around and say things all day. Man, they say, like they, who are they? See? I'm limited. You know, it's the government. The government. That's why. All these taxes I pay. See, it's them. Them. Well, other people have gotten ahead. Listen. And for us to say, the reason it says, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. See, for us to say that what we're going through and experience right now is dependent on somebody else, is somebody else's fault, not mine. What we're saying is that God shows partiality. That I don't have the privilege to come to God and to have His help in this situation like other people do. My lot was already determined for me. That's it. Nothing I can do about it. And we absolve ourselves from the responsibility. See, it's my boss. He doesn't like me. It's him, not me. It's him. Has nothing to do with the way that you talked about him behind his back that God saw. And other people did too. And he may have heard about it. Has nothing to do with your work ethic. Has nothing to do with your diligence, your dependability. No, it's him. He didn't give me the promotion. And God says, do not be deceived. I remember when I had believed God, I had asked God and was standing on the Word of God in faith for a box boy job when I was just, about 18, 19 years old. And I got the job, but I knew that to go to Bible college, which is what I had found out that God wanted me to pursue, to go there, I needed a promotion. $4 an hour, which is what I started off being paid as a box boy, would not cut it. I thought $4 an hour was pretty good. I think it was the most I'd ever made to that point. Jack in the Box didn't pay me that good. And so I started off at $4 an hour, and I began to believe God for the promotion of checker. Now let me share something with you, and I don't want you to think at all this is arrogance, and I'm going to show you how this principle is so true. I chose to be promoted. My manager did not. Now listen to me. I chose it. See, I came to the Lord and I stood on His word. God had taught me to that point. See, I had spent some time there when I was at the end of my 17th year, 18 years old, 19 years old, 20, while most of my peers were just hanging out, listening to their music all the time. I was not. I was in my room in the Word. I was in my car with people teaching me the Word, putting into my heart the promises of God. And I'd learned this by this point. God had opened my eyes to this, that not all preachers are alike. It's not just smart preachers. It's not just intelligent people. It's not just people that have studied that change your life. I learned that there was a major division point between preachers that give knowledge and preachers that bring faith. Preachers that talk about the faithfulness of God, but by the end of the message, let you know that just because God promised it, He may or may not do it. And preachers that convince you that those promises are there and they're true, and that if you'll align yourself and begin to do what God has called you to do, to be obedient and to walk in faith, that God will begin to bring these promises to pass in your life. There's a difference. It's not knowledge that changes you so much in spiritual things. It's faith. You need knowledge, but you need to believe in the faithfulness of God. Will God do what He said He would do if I do what He asked me to do? And so I begin to listen to people that really in their own preachers, not all preachers believe in the promises of God. Oh, they can say the faithfulness of God. Yeah, God's a faithful God. But when it comes right down to it, this is what the Word said. This is what God promised. Is He going to do it? Well, you know, God's a sovereign God. You never know what He's going to do. But whatever He does, you know it was for your best. See, that sounds all spiritual and everything, but the bottom line is, what they just told you was, you cannot depend on the Scripture. Fend for yourself. Suck it up. Do the best you can. But don't hold out for what God promised, because you just never know if He's going to come through. God taught me the difference. And I began to pay attention and listen to people that believed and began to tell me God is always faithful to His Word. We need to work. We need to sow different seeds. We need to get into alignment. But the Word of God is not our problem. God's lack of faithfulness is not the problem. See, I began to sow that. And so when I got this job and I needed promotion, Psalm 75, I was reading back at that point the King James Version, and it says, promotion doesn't come from the east or the west or the south. But God is the judge. He puts up one, He sets down another. And so I began to say that pretty much every day. Go to work and I say, Father, I thank You that promotion doesn't come from the east or the west or the south, but You're the judge. You set up one, You put down another. And I believe in You and I thank You for the promotion on this job. And let me tell you where I was. I was happy to be there, but if you went in the break room and you looked at the schedule of everybody's work hours and you start up here at the assistant managers and you walk down through all of the clerks and checkers and such, and then when you get done with all of the checkers and the stock people and everything that worked up in that category, you'd come to this center category, and it was the janitors and people, and they were making more like, you know, $8 an hour, things. And then you get down to the bottom, they were the box boys, okay? And if you followed it down to the bottom of the box boy category, there's Jerry right there. See, there I am. I was happy to be there. I was believing God for this job. But there I am at the very bottom. And all of these box boys in front of me, the one on the top of the list had been a box boy 2.5 years, waiting to be promoted. You know, this guy down here at the bottom was the first one to get promoted. The bottom. Bottom. Listen, and let me just tell you, my manager didn't make that decision. I did. Now listen to what I'm saying. I'm not putting myself in the place of God. I'm not saying I can control the universe. No, I'm not a superhero. I'm not even Spider-Man. Though I'd like to be sometimes. What I'm telling you is that God is a faithful God. And it's the way that I respond to life, in His will, of course, that gives me and you the ability to reap a different harvest from anybody else. So what I began to do was, I began to take these scriptures, these promises of God that says promotion doesn't come from the east or the west or the south. I customized them. And I began to say, promotion doesn't come from my manager. And I called his name, Mark. Promotion doesn't come from my assistant manager, Dave. Doesn't come from the third man. We had several different third men. But it comes from the Lord. See, the proverb says, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. Listen. The heart of your boss, the heart of your spouse, the heart of your friends, The heart of those people that have influence over your life? The hearts in certain governmental positions are in the hand of the Lord. And like the rivers of water, He turns it wherever He wishes. And I began to say, Lord, You turn my manager's heart toward me because I'm doing Your will. I want to get promoted because I want to get about the will of God. And I'm Your child. So I began to declare that. Well, that's not the only thing I did. I determined since I'm working for the Lord, I'm not just here working for a manager, I'm working for the Lord. I determined, well, I got to work the right way. So I worked harder than all those guys. They would walk out to get the carts. I'd run out. They'd need an item switched off of the shelf. They'd walk back there. I'd run back there. Somebody says, well, that's why you got promoted. Well, call it anything you want. But what I'm telling you is the way that my eyes were open, we're seeing the Word of God, and God says, listen, you will reap what you sow. I have made promises to you, son. I've got a plan for you, but it will not happen just by saying, well, God, work your plan. You got to believe, and you got to begin to sow into that plan. When others were in the back stock room talking bad about the boss, I avoided those conversations. See, because you can't talk bad about the Lord. And the Bible said to treat your boss like the Lord. And so I didn't sow seeds that everybody else sowed. I sowed different seeds. And the Lord saw that. And even though when I first came on, the reason why there was a position available is because they just promoted two box people to be checkers. And the rumor was going around, oh, they've got too many checkers. They don't need anybody. And I didn't let those seeds attach to me, see, because they don't make that decision. God does. They're not in charge. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? Listen, they're not in charge. They just think they're in charge. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And God can get rid of some checkers, transfer them to other stores, get rid of them altogether, get rid of the manager if He needs to. Is that right? Listen, nobody can hold you back from being the person God has called you to be except you. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Do not be deceived, brethren. God is not mocked. That means if you ever say, well, the reason why my life's going like this, it's because, and you begin to point somewhere else, God says, you're mocking me. Because I told you that I would treat you without partiality. And if you will do what I tell you to do, yeah, but God, my spouse doesn't respect me. And the Word doesn't say, love your wives if she respects you. It said, husbands, do it. And the harvest that you'll get will be what you plant, not what they plant. We have an opportunity this year to plant a more fruitful life. Let me tell you, this is a bitter pill to swallow. It's hard to swallow this to say, so what you're saying is that it's my fault. Yes. Let me say it again real slow. Yes. Not that everything that has happened to you is your fault, because you can't control that. Conditions and influences do come. Life changes do come. Problems, negative things do come. But the harvest of your fruit and the life that you have is not a result of what happens to you, but a result of how you respond. And whether or not you respond full of the Word of God and full of faith, and you respond and happen to life instead of letting life happen to you, nobody can limit you because God is with you. But you can limit yourself. And the quickest way to do it is to absolve yourself from the responsibility and to buy into the lie that says, it's not my fault. I can't do anything about it. It's my boss. It's my wife. My husband. It's the government. It's the way I was raised. It's just the way I'm wired. I don't care how long you've been in this rut or in this harvest that you're reaping right now. But let me tell you, you can sow different seeds. you can begin to sow different seeds. So many things that have happened to us in the past that have caused the harvest or aided and helped to cause the harvest that we're experiencing now, we're still reaping that harvest, not because we sowed the original seeds, but because we haven't sown different seeds. And by not sowing different seeds, we're not reaping the harvest that we could reap. This is a great opportunity to begin to read your Bible every day. If you need to do it on CD, do it on CD. Listen to it every day. It's a great opportunity maybe to do something like get into boot camp or one of the startup programs. Because see, what that does is it sows into your life the seeds of the Word of God and helps your whole way of thinking adjust to open your mind up to allow God to be the God that He wants to be to you. And if you think, yeah, but He still can't change them. But He can. But He can, but He needs your help to plant the right seeds and to lay the right foundation. Think about this. This principle is not like a restaurant where you go in, you eat the food, and after you taste it and order it and get anything you want, then you put the investment in, pay for it. It's more like the farm. You want to eat? You got to get down in the dirt first. It doesn't matter how dirty the dirt is when you start. It's what you plant right there in the dirt that's going to affect what you eat tomorrow. God, help us to plant some different seeds this year so that we can see the glory of God come about in our lives. Father, thank You today for Your Word. Father, I pray for those in this room that may have experienced some devastating blows to their life, maybe as a child, maybe in their marriage. And for some time, have been trying to recover emotionally, maybe financially. Father, I know that Your intention is never to come down and to point fingers and to try to make people feel less than, or like losers, or insignificant. But the point is always to help us to realize that we have opportunity right in front of us. We have choices. We have a God who has made promises to us, and we have a covenant that has been ratified and sealed in the blood of Jesus. And we can begin to take the truths of Your Word, the promises of God, and sow them into our lives and believe that things are going to change for us in every way. Father, we believe for a more fruitful 2005 this year because of the adjustments that we made.
We hope you enjoyed this message today by Jerry Dearman, Senior Pastor of The Rock. To join Operation Solid Lives, Pastor Jerry's free discipleship program, get free teaching downloads and blog and Twitter updates, find a campus of The Rock near you, or to join the 2 Spy Club and help get this uncompromised teaching to the world, visit us at jerrydearman.com or write to Jerry Dearman Ministries, P.O. Box 4970, Anaheim, California, 92830.